All right, we are here for a very special episode. If you saw my post,
very special.
Be yesterday, or this week. I don't know when this is going to release. We'll see. Probably today, because we recorded early enough to where I can actually get this uploaded today. So Monday. Yesterday was the 3-year anniversary of the podcast. Big, 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 pew pew. Big momentum. Big type of monumental. Absolutely. I really don't have words to say what it means. Like, to truly be honest, I wrote it out today in my post and I kind of kept it short and sweet. I was just like, I mean, it's given me kind of everything. Like, if I truly think about it, everything that I have now, like the friends I have, the coach I have, the team that I'm coaching with, like, everything that I have and I've worked for has come from starting this. And I didn't intend for it to kind of be that. I didn't know what it would be when I started, but it's kind of cool the way that it evolutionized into what it is now. And like us three just doing it.
When you started the podcast, was your goal to make it like a fitness oriented podcast?
Yeah, it was. Like, it was. Like, I started reaching out, like I remember when I started, and I was, like, reaching out to, like, 5 people, I think, to have on my show. And, like, it was just meant to be what Ace of Spada was. Like, it's being an ace in the, like, what it actually stands for, which is be an ace in the deck of cards known as life, right? So it's taking all these people who are dominating their life and kind of showcase that through those guest episodes and through everything. And then it kind of slowly evolutionized to me adding in my own episodes, kind of just doing my own thought, my own thinking, kind of using this as like a journal through like my journey, not just as like a podcaster, but my journey as like a bodybuilder, my journey as a coach. Like, it kind of documented everything. I mean, I've had this longer than I've coached for. So it's like, so it's been around for the whole part of the process. And in one of the cool things about it, and I remember seeing this a lot, especially when I started like into like near closing into the first year, and a lot of people who continually keep listening, is they're like, you know, you really found your voice and found the way that you like to actually do things, actually like how like the podcast comes together, how much you flow a lot better compared to where I started. Because if you listen to episode 1, absolute dog crap. Like, absolute.
I need to go back and listen to that.
Don't listen to episode 1 whatsoever. My voice is so, like, monotone that it doesn't have, like, any fucking expression. Like, it's crazy. Like, I was just like, damn, who would listen to episode 1? Like, but then I started getting all the guests. But then
everybody listened to this entire episode. Listen now.
Yeah, I know. But it was kind of crazy how fast like it also took off. Like, I remember just reaching out to people and not being afraid of them saying like no to come on the show. And like, that's really where a lot of the things came from. It's just like, I just had these wild guests, and I think I haven't checked because it's been so long, but I think my one episode, which is episode 11 with Dylan and Lauren Bear, I think it passed 1,000 downloads. So that's like my first 1,000 download episode. I mean, I've had close to now 50,000 plus downloads on the podcast in general. So it's like, I mean, for starting from someone who had maybe 1,000, 1,500 followers or something at the time. Actually, I didn't even have that. I didn't even have 1,000 followers when I started on my podcast, on my Spada Fitness page. I had like 500 followers. Like, to start from 500 followers and get that many downloads to now having like 2,600 followers and getting what we get, like, it's pretty cool to see like how much it's truly impacted me. And I think it's given me probably the 3 best things I probably could hope for. 1 or 4, I would say. 1, probably an impactful tool that's helped many people that a lot of people don't end up actually saying, but I get some of these messages like randomly saying how much the podcast has helped them. Even if like Dylan and I got tagged in someone's thing this week, like someone's Instagram post. Like we don't, I didn't even know who they were. I don't even think Dylan might not even know who they are. And he was like, I've listened to the podcast. Like I followed you and like your content, like you and Dylan's content, like your guys, like what you guys did on the podcast. It's helped me start to get my journey and things together. Like seeing those messages, obviously number one is probably the best thing ever. So giving me a tool for impact. I would say number two is probably Mark. In general, like I would have never met Mark or would have known about Mark if it didn't come from the podcast and being from the people that I've had on previous to actually having him on. And I would say he's probably been, outside of you guys and a few others, probably the most impactful person in my life in the last 2 years, in the last 2.5 years that we've been working together, as coach and athlete. Three, I mean, it has to be you guys, right? Like you guys are clearly some of my best friends. We talk on the regular, basically every day, sharing things and helping each other just become better coaches. And then four, it's kind of given me the opportunity to work with T. Miller. And that's also something I blend three and four kind of together, but they're kind of separate, but together. And it's just been awesome to kind of see and be able to actually do and continually to do it. And that people continually listen to us and they support us through and through. And they really enjoy these episodes and what we're able to actually answer for them. Or give them advice, whether it's these random talks that we have, like we always have these like random rambles that end up actually spewing really good pieces of information that people can take away, which is something that you really can't find in too many places. Like people will just talk and talk and talk, but there's not too many lessons that you can find unless you're truly listening. So, I mean, I never expected it to be 3 years though. Like to truly be honest, I was like, maybe I'll do like 150 episodes. Now I'm at like, now this is episode 220. Like, I'm like, fuck, I've put in a lot of time into this. Like there was a lot of those days. Like obviously production's kind of come back and been more simplified just with how much time I have. But I remember working in my senior year to kind of grow this. And I would put out those previews. Like I had to work pretty hard to do those previews. Like I had to go through the episode, find different markers where I wanted to go, have to extract them, cut them. Like the effort was there in the beginning to lay the groundstone, like lay the stones to what is actually it now. And it's kind of more just laid back vibes, like more just us listening and just being able to chat. And a lot of people enjoy that now compared to what I had before. Like it's, like I said, evolutionized, but I never expected it to be 220 episodes. So it's cool though, because I think we're at a pretty good rate ourselves. I think you guys came in at around, I want to say 200, one something, maybe upper 190s is when we really started this. And I know Dylan's been along the ride now. I think Dylan's actually been on now close to a year that we've been doing this. So the year's gone by pretty quickly. You think about it, every single Sunday we get the opportunity to just be able to chat on this thing and sure, just enjoy everything. So I just want to say thank you to everyone who has listened to even just like a minute of it, because it really is my baby when it comes down to things. And there will be a next chapter with this, and we're growing the next chapter of what it's going to be, and it's going to continue to evolutionize. And I'm really excited for what the next chapter will be, which we'll announce pretty soon here, hopefully. I'm not going to give any cookies away, but just know things are going to get exciting here. We're going to be bringing some guests back on. We're going to be doing some big things with it. And so, you know, it's just been a wild opportunity that, like, I mean, I have an ace tattoo on myself now. Like it's a part of my one tattoo. So it means a lot that I was able to develop it into what it is. Even though people may be like 50,000 downloads over 3 years is not like tremendous compared to some of these bigger podcasts, right? But for like myself, like it's still to come from, start from nothing to that is just really cool for me to be able to see and be able to have like a lot of memories and a lot of friends, and majority of my friends who are now in this industry are from actually just reaching out and having them on for an hour and having a really good conversation.
Yeah. I'm going to put you on the spot. What's your favorite episode of all 220? Your favorite episode you've ever done?
I mean, as much as I hate it, right? It has to be episode one. Like, it was the start.
There you go.
Like there are episodes like I have a bag of lists, but there's so many good guests that came on. But episode one will always hold the pride and joy because I held back for like 3 months of actually starting it. Like I had the idea written in my notes and it took me like 3 months to actually get it and to record that episode and to find what I wanted to do. And it's only a 17 minute episode. It's not a long episode. It's a really, really short episode, but it's the start of where it was. So like, I think personally, that's just my favorite. As much as I hate how I sounded in it, it's obviously my favorite one because it started everything. That's so cliche to say.
It's fair though. It's fair.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. That's deadly, man. No, it's been cool on our end, and I can speak for myself too, obviously. Like the first time I met you was through the podcast. You reached out and wanted me to come on the podcast, and I didn't know who you were at the time. And then we became friends through the podcast, and seeing your growth, like you've said, since that time, as a person, as a coach, as an athlete, it's been fucking wild, dude. So super, super, super proud of you, man.
Thank you. Yeah, myself also, you know, it's you kind of just again reached out to me one day and was like, hey, you know, I like your stuff and we should have you on the podcast. And you know, it's funny because at the end of that podcast, after the clip stopped rolling, we were just talking amongst you and I looked at you dead in the eye and I was like, man, we might have something here. It's really unrefined right now. And you know, and I'm really good. Like I think Braden can attest to this. If I'm not doing something well, I like it to know. I'm not one of these people where I'm not naive about my own shortcomings, and I'm just always trying to get better. So I was like, we were a little clunky in the transitions, and you know, but overall, I think the kind of difference of personality, along with the way we view the world and life experiences, I thought like, man, we might have something here. And then when Braden came on much later, I actually felt the same thing again, where it got clunky again. Mm-hmm. You know, like we had, you know, kind of addressed that and then it got a little clunky, but I didn't view that as negative because I saw the moments within that clunkiness where I was like, oh man, if we nail that down and get the three of us rolling with this synergy, this could be really good, which obviously then led to, you know, I don't even think I was on Team Miller. No, I wasn't on Team Miller at all. When maybe as a client of Braden's, I think. Yeah. Maybe when I started the podcast, I was with a different team. So, I mean, I started working as a coach with Team Miller. And then, you know, a year later, now you're working with Team Miller too as a coach. And we're all kind of conquesting towards the same goals. So it's really fun. And these Sunday podcasts are some of my favorite time of the week.
Me too.
Like it's actually, and I think that's maybe why it's trending in the right direction is because I think people are, you know, I'm going to give our listeners the benefit of the doubt. I think that they're intelligent enough to pick up on that.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm excited. I work very hard. Me and Braden were just talking about running out of hours in the day before we got on here. It's nice to be able to feel like we're accomplishing something that is good for our overall, you know, business goals and all the things we have, but yet it's still our downtime to be able to,
that's fun,
you know, sit yeah. down and talk about these type yeah. of things. Also crazy. I listened to the Mark Zuckerberg podcast with Rogan on the way up here. And, you know, some of the technology they're developing right now, like in the next couple of years, it sounds like if we wanted to have a podcast, we could have a hologram of ourselves and whoa. You'll be able to see like, so for instance, right now, I understand because I pay attention to speech and people's body language because I'm versed in it. So when I'm talking to Anthony, one of the weird thing is if I look at the camera, then I'm not looking at Anthony's yeah. eyes. And your brain is kind of trying to convince you the whole time that you're not actually in a real conversation. Mm-hmm. Cause it's weird. Cause I'm getting it now. Cause I'm sitting beside yeah. Braden.
I'm looking at you on this.
yeah. And like, I feel like I'm talking to him because it feels comfortable to like yeah. even look at the side of his face when he's not even talking, you know, he's looking this way versus looking at this. And I thought, man, some of these things are just going to keep getting better and better. That's the point of that is like, you know, I think that with the technology and then the value, like these things weren't a thing. Like when I started coaching, like we're old enough to be like forums and going hunting. You'd have to read through hours of stupid nonsense to maybe find something that you could try on yourself. Hopefully you didn't hurt yourself because it might have still been nonsense, you know? Yeah. So it's just been really fun and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, deadly. I agree with everything there. It's lots of bright shit ahead, but it's the journey to get here has been a cool one for you, man. So celebrate that, man. We're all super proud of you and you deserve, you know what I mean? Like early on, it's crazy too, right? Because how much recognition were you getting early on for it? Fuck all, right? Like you're sitting there and like, you're probably looking at how many people have listened and in the back of your head, you're like, obviously like, oh shit, I need to get more next week. Like, but at the same time, you kept trenching forwards and kept moving forwards. And it's like, there's proof in the pudding to something. Right, because what if you just stopped it after five episodes and you're like, man, nobody wants to hear me talk. I'm not really getting lots of viewers. Well, a lot of that shit that you said came from this probably would have never happened. Would you even be a coach at this point? Would you have Austin as a mentor? Would you be working with Mark? Would you have met me? Would you have met Dylan? Right, there's so many like what ifs. Like what if you literally stopped when people normally would probably stop at some point? Or after that first episode, you listen to yourself and you're like, fuck, I sound stupid. I'm never doing this again. And you just didn't pursue it. Where would you be? Who knows?
Yeah. So Anthony, one of the things that I'm real proud of you for, and I've told you this before, but I'm going to try to phrase it in a different way to give value to the audience. You know, when after a while of us getting to know each other and, you know, you started to lean in and get curious about my experience, right? Cause you know, like your knowledge base is very high, but then there's like an experience factor that I might have. And that's the same reason why I looked to Braden in a lot of the areas that he has more expertise in, right? Cause you can just feel that like, okay, I've read the book, like, you know, like I need to run plays, right? So it's a little bit different. And one of the things I was really drawn to you about is you would come to me and I don't have much time and people want my time now. And what bothers me about a lot of situations and what made me very happy about our situation is I would tell you, okay, this is what I think you're doing really stupid. And this is what I think you're not doing stupid. And then I wouldn't all of a sudden through the week, I would just see your marketing or media, like whatever we talked about, would just start to shift. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, he's just doing it. And that's the part that people never do. And Braden and I talk about this, you know, like last week I had a conversation where, you know, I made a choice with an athlete's prep, let's say more so just like entering the prep where it wasn't communicated the best way that it could have been. And there were some things that I should have brought up prior. And, you know, he just pointed it out like, hey, I'm not, it's like, this is probably what you should have done. And I responded to him like, yeah, you know what? When we had that talk a while ago, if I would have done what you said, I wouldn't be in this stupid spot that I'm in now, never happening again. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think when you get around a bunch of people who just want to get better, it doesn't really matter how good they are, to be honest, because at some point they will catch up. Right. Because a lot of people just stand still and want things to come. You've never been like that. So, you know, it's why time. I like having you around, man.
Huge time, man. Agreed.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing I've probably learned from you guys, right, is to take more risk when it comes down to my coaching. Like in terms of everything, like I play everything really safe, right? Because we know I deal with more of the functional health side, right? And that always is so touchy-touchy over how much can you truly push someone there. But it's really cool because, I mean, I sent you guys. I didn't actually post it yet because I'm going to post it on my Instagram this week. But I sent you that girl that I, like, it's first time ever handling like that situation. And you could just see everything is just falling in line with her like a month in. And it's just like, and that's for me actually learning from Dylan to, hey, sometimes you can push these people hard in training and get things going the right way. If you just make the right moves, feed them the right amount of food and continue and just like have a really good coach client relationship. Like it really comes down to that. And so I've been pushing and like you guys see my athlete Austin too, like you guys been kind of pushing me to push him even more. And now I'm finding like my own little way of flipping my switch on people and really kind of pushing them to be better. And I think this is obviously from, of course, being among the other Team Miller elite coaches too, as well. And seeing everyone, we talked about this before in our own coaches chat, like we're all getting better. And it's really funny because we're all posting about how we're getting better and it continually forces each one of us to have to continue to get better as a coach and push our athletes to be better because we have to keep that cycle going because the train has to continue, right? And at any point, yeah.
I was just going to say, I feel like in the coaching industry, a lot of times we put ourselves into those boxes, right? Like you even had mentioned, like you deal with a lot of functional health stuff. So in that regard, well, where did that knowledge come from? It came from guys like Austin. It came from speaking with guys like Mark and stuff. But at some point, we also realized too, like, that's also not all those guys do, right? So for instance, I can speak on Austin's side, and he's so fucking wildly educated in that stuff. It's awesome. And like, I've worked with him, so I've had that experience. But you look, like, he's coaching Felix. If you know who Felix is, who's about to step on stage at North Americans as a super heavyweight, one of the favorites to win his pro card is a super. And like, the dude is 300 plus in his off season. Do you think Austin just had these functional health protocols for him around the clock to get him there, right? And this is something we talked about on the Excellent. I talked to you guys about it a little bit in our day-to-day chats when I went on that Excellence Cartel podcast with Jeff and Jason and those guys last week. Is like, you look at a guy like, I don't want to speak shitty about him because I do like some of his models, but like Victor Black, right? He speaks about safe use in the PED industry. But if you put that in a box and say, this is how steroids should be done, well, now all of a sudden you're taking a group of individuals who are trying to be extreme and bodybuilders and telling them they can't do that and they shouldn't do that because this is how that should be done. Well, I mean, how many pros is Victor making? How many pros are winning pro shows under Victor? None. So at some point we have to decide, we're going to have buttons we have to push ourselves, right? It's always up to us to choose which buttons to push and how aggressively we push those buttons. But like you said, it's just one of those things where sometimes you have to take risks. And when I say take risks, none of us are ever talking about put somebody in harm's way, but do things differently per se and find our own way, right? Because when I started coaching in the PED aspect side of things, I was not nearly as educated as I am now. Was I completely stupid? No, I didn't just start putting people on gear because I had taken a little bit of steroids. That's not how it worked. But I'm way more educated now, and I probably would change some things the way I go back. But I'll tell you this much, the way that I coached early on when I didn't know nearly what I do now taught me half the shit I know now, right? So those experiences are valuable, and being able to push buttons and try things is so, so valuable along the way. And it adds that, what Dylan was saying, it adds that experience to the books and the knowledge that you've read. Because without one, you don't have the other, right? You need both. You can't just be book smart. And you can't just be all anecdote unless you're fucking Chris Aceto, who probably is 90% anecdote.
But yeah, no, I'm learning from the best, right? I'm taking pieces and I'm making my own way of doing things.
I think that's the way we have to do it. You know, like when I made a post about my man B a week or so ago, I was just like in my feels, I guess, kind of thinking about some of the same stuff you were describing with your podcast and kind of what it's given to you, right? And I view this team as like, I was looking for a space. Like I was this lone wolf, like, and I don't really like being alone. That's the thing. And I've done it my whole life kind of. And some of that was my own shortcomings of not being able to accept help and fall into the place in the proper hierarchy, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I love that our team is the way it is right now, where, you know, in that post that I was like really in my feels writing it, you know, I was like, the way that I view this is like, I'm literally trying to snap my jaws at the back of Braden's feet as he's running up the hill and he's getting away a little bit, but it keeps me hungry. But then if I look back for just a second, there's you and Lexa and Tyler and the rest of the team snipping at my heels. And if I slow down and don't pay attention to that, I might get my heel bit and I get passed, you know? So like, I think that, because at some point we'll all be standing at the top of the mountain anyway, you know, so it's a really good driving force for us to be centering around.
Yeah. It's, I guess we're all talking in the fields. I'll add my, it's really easy. And I think like for people to say, like joining B's team changed this for me. And I think it's not just that for me, it's different, right? Like I didn't join a team, but I also didn't have a team. I was by myself before I ever had Tony and Steven. And I got given a really cool opportunity through Matt Jensen to meet Tony and Steven, and they propelled me forwards. Yeah. And then we got to a point where it was like, holy shit, this is really cool. And I had never really seen myself as my coaching business or this coaching business turning into a team setting? That never crossed my mind. And then you have these conversations, and it starts with like, oh, well, we need to start having those conversations because this is where your roster's at, and we can impact a lot more people, and there's a lot of good people we could help by just expanding in a certain way. So then that conversation happens, and it's like, well, how do we do this, and where do we go with this? And it's like, well, at that point for me, it was like I knew I wanted to do something with Tyler because I was so close with Tyler, working with him for 2 years, right? And then that snowball gets rolling, and we take on applications and stuff, and like through meeting Dylan and this, and all of a sudden it's like I'm here now, and it's like I see this fucking team, and I'm in the same mode as you guys. It's like this changed everything for me, completely changed everything for me. It made me a better coach because the amount I've learned from you guys and everybody on this team in different aspects is huge, and it makes me a better coach every single day. It pushes me to want to be better because, like Dylan said, I don't want to fucking get passed. Like, I don't want to be the guy in the team who's all of a sudden all the coaches are at the top of the mountain and I'm fucking climbing a rope while you guys are pulling me up. Like, I don't want that. So it forces us all to just be better, right? And it's, I can truthfully say I would never want to be on my own again. And I mean that, right? Like, you surround yourself with people like we have. I have no aspiration to just be a successful coach or successful in any right by myself. There's nothing sweet about that. I want to just enjoy it with people. And like, as far as I'm concerned, I don't even see successful yet. Right. Like, I think we're just coming through the water with the tip of that iceberg, and there's some good shit that's going to happen. And I mean, I feel like we say it all the time, but we also back it up because there's some really cool shit that has been happening, and there's just a bunch more that's going to happen. So I appreciate all y'all coming for me too.
I just to add one more thing, because I'll let everyone, well, we got to stop crying and answer a few questions. And, I mean, it's just like B has a vision for all of us. Like, that's the reason why he brought us onto the team. Like, every single coach, he has a reason why they're there. Like, and he, and his true purpose, every single time we talk, like the mention of going full-time has come up every single time we talk about Miller Elite coaching, and we talk about even adding just one athlete. Like, it's another step towards getting to that goal, and that's the goal that B has set for me, like, in terms of things. And obviously that's the goal for all of us. Yeah, first goal. There's going to be a few more. But that'd be a big milestone for me in terms of being able to have that freedom to be able to do this full-time, and be able to work on the podcast and just coaching full-time. Like, that would be great experience there in terms of everything, go all in on the two things that I'm most passionate about. Right. But it's every single time we have a conversation, the vision is still set. Like, that's his thing, is to get me there. And whether it's one athlete at a time, one athlete per month or whatever it is, like, you know, it's going to get me there. It's just going to take time, right? But B has it set that it's going to happen. And when you put that into someone else's mind, like, it's not just seeing it yourself, but seeing everyone else around there on the same team doing it too as well, it kind of is that driving force that I need it to really just continue to level up and be the most confident I am in coaching. So that's like the cool part about being on the team so far, is the vision is set for what we have. And B is even further than that. Like, my vision is set on that goal, but B's goals for me go already beyond that, because he knows we're going to check that box off in due time. And then it's going to be, okay, what do we have? What's the next 1, 2, 3 boxes that need to be checked off after that? Because that's how we're going to continue to progress as a team, and continue to make things happen. So, yeah. So obviously this all came from the podcast. So yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
I think that it's a good lesson might be to, trust the, so, cause I'm kind of summarizing this chapter that we've just maybe gone on a wrap down for all of us, but you know, to think about maybe like something to take from this. And I know Anthony's probably going to agree with me, I hope, but we'll see. Is to find, you know, like for us, it's our brand. So find your pack, but find your people, mm-hmm. right? So for instance, you know, Anthony and I, before, like when I was just a client, actually a little bit before I was a client of Braden's, and I was talking to Anthony and I was working with Justin and our term was coming to an end and I just was ready for a switch. So, you know, Anthony and I were talking and he was on a part of a team and so was I actually. And it was the first time that I was part of a team. And I think it was the first time Anthony was part of a team. And what was happening is Anthony and I were doing these podcasts, but then we became friends and we started talking the way that us three do now. You know, where we're like, we were helping each other with different cases, just as friends, just shooting the shit, bouncing stuff off each other. And then one day, you know, I asked him, I was like, this is kind of what I want, like on the team. And I don't really have that where I am. Like, this doesn't really make sense. And I didn't know what I wanted. I just knew that deep down, I was craving a thirst for something. Like, no matter what I drank within that structure, I couldn't seem to get that thirst gone, quenched. You know, quenched. Yeah. And he was like, hey, like I did this podcast with a guy from Canada and, you know, like he's really cool. I think you guys get along. You should talk to him about for your next coach. And, you know, that I looked at his stuff. I followed him for a while and not long after I hired him as my coach. And, you know, here we are now. So it goes to show you that, like, you know, there was a little bit of circle changing and, you know, I want the best for everyone that was involved in all those different ventures I've been a part of, you know, because that's just how I am. But when you really find your people, like we all struggle. I have my hard days where it's hard to, you know, see my own vision for myself and all these crazy things I'm trying to do. You know, it's sometimes it feels like you're lugging a ball up a hill, but it's really nice to have teammates be like, no, you're on the right path. Just focus on this. You know, we can change this. And kind of outsourcing that sanity, I think, makes these grand goals a lot more attainable.
Yeah. Huge time. And it's cool too, because I think that's where we got to end this rant at some point too. But like, that's where Dylan and I bring a lot of experience, right? Because like we look at our team now, right? Like you guys are pretty fresh, newer coaches, right? You don't have big rosters.
Yep.
Anthony, you haven't been coaching a super long time. Lexa hasn't been coaching a super long time. Tyler hasn't been coaching a super long time. Jordan, we look at all, like, everybody on this team hasn't been coaching a super long time. Dylan and I have the most experience in that regard. But, like we've been in your position, right? Like, we've been the people that had 5 athletes and 6 athletes, and then all of a sudden it was 10 athletes, and then it was 15 athletes. And like for me, I've been at the point where like I've had 50 athletes and then the world changes and I lose 3/4 of my athletes and it's back to square one, right? And like there's always this shit. But again, the experiences that you get along the way, and I think that's the value, that we don't have to sit on team calls every week and me to educate you on book stuff.
No.
Because there's only so much value that provides that. That's not worth your time or my time, because you can use your time to do that at any point. We're in a world full of information. But the real value comes from the conversations that we all have, or bringing stuff to the table to discuss cases, or expressing your concerns that you don't feel like you belong as a coach. And we're like, yeah, you fucking do. Look at the impact you're having. You're just not where you want to be. So you're making that irrelevant feeling feel worse than it should.
That's right? Me all the time.
And it still happens to me, man. And it always will happen, because that's what drives us to be successful. Yep. The hunger to be better. Right. So yeah. Anyways, I think
I forgot about that. Just to end this, when you're talking about, it's not really as much in the feels, talking about that experiential part. You know, like when the pandemic hit, Braden basically lost his entire roster. And that's a huge, you know, even overcoming that stepping stone, aside from all of the book stuff. And then myself, you know, building up a roster of 100 and then deciding to get into some of the store business stuff and stopping that cold turkey, which was very difficult to do after I'd been hunting it for 6 years straight. And then to stop doing it for 2 years and then to start it up, to jump into the unknown of a new sort of market and the way that things are advertised and all that stuff. It was very overwhelming, you know, but some of that experience being passed down is why we're seeing the growth we're seeing. So it's fun. I love being a part of it, you know.
Huge time. Me too. Awesome. Well,
we got some questions to go
through.
Some cues.
Yeah, we can like 3.
I have a good one to start with. I think I foresee it being one of the longer ones, just because we're all probably going to take a little bit of a go at it.
Yeah.
I liked the question, so I want to give the person kind of big, well thought out questions. You know, when someone thinks out a good question, you're like, this is what we need. So her question was, it's short, so I'm gonna change it a little bit because it came over 3 of these things, because she was trying to, you know, it was like in the the ones you NGO. can type a whole bunch. Something like, So when we have, and by the way, I've never had this and neither has Anthony. So Braden's the only person that's actually had this. So I want to be transparent about that, is having someone step on a national stage. I guess I kind of did with Brandy, but that was my first exposure and I didn't fully coach her anyway. You know, so someone stepping on a national stage, is it on the athlete's dime to kind of get the coaches there? And I know she's asking, because she follows my stuff and she's seeing me and Braden and, you know, Tyler sometimes, you know, at these shows that were a lot of Braden's national shows this year. And she was like, because I feel like it would be very interesting and great for me to have that. I just am not sure how that works. So I'll let Braden take it because he has the most experience for sure. Far. And then I'll chime in, and Anthony can chime in a little bit after me.
So from like a team setting, we do have stuff basically actually in our contracts that say that if an athlete wants a coach to travel to the show, they basically are responsible for helping in those costs. Now I can confidently say this with 100%. If there's any athlete of mine that feels I'm not being truthful here, I encourage you to come at us and let us know. I've never once asked an athlete to pay for my travel. I've never expected it. And there's a reason for that. I see a lot of value of seeing people in person and being at shows. And I see the difference it makes in the quality of what you're putting out. Now, can I promise I'll be at every single show? I can't, especially as my roster gets busier. And in my position, I look at it like this. There's going to be a time where I may have three people on stage in the US and the next weekend, seven people on stage here, or the same weekend, I have two people competing in Europe, right? And like, that's my goal, is to have that. And yeah, of course, in that situation, things become a lot more tough. And I'll tell you right now, like, it's a lot more than monetary at this point for where we're at. It's expensive to travel to shows. It cost me $1,100 to travel to Toronto, just my flights alone. The last time I traveled to Toronto, the next weekend I had to go to Texas. It cost me $1,300 to go to Texas, right? And it's like, to me, the value of being there is worth more than that monetary payment I'm making. And I have had, so for instance, when Patrick won his pro card, I basically paid for my flight. And beyond that, everything was pretty well taken care of. And actually, now I'm trying to remember if I even paid for my flight. that was one of those things where an athlete came to me and said, we want you there and we'll cover, like, we stayed in the same room. I didn't pay anything. That was the first experience I've had like that. And that was super cool because, again, I think it was an athlete recognizing the effort that I've put into them and the value that it provides for me to be there. And I don't expect that. Again, it is in our contracts, because when you grow, we have visions for the business, right? And the goals of each of us as coaches. When you get to 150 person roster and you have seven people in a show or six people in a national show, I mean, it could realistically be each athlete pays $150 and your expenses are covered, right? Because to go to that show, but there's so many different moving parts to it. Again, it just goes back to me. I've never asked that. But I also, if there's a show I can't make in that sense, where it just doesn't make sense financially or this and that, I would hope that an athlete doesn't hold that above your head just because you've gone to every other show that you possibly could, right? And I've literally, at this point, I think there's only ever been three or four shows for my athlete, maybe even not four, maybe it's just three, that I haven't been at. And one of those circumstances was literally because I had four athletes competing in one city, my local city in Edmonton, and an athlete stepping on stage in Toronto on the exact same day. I can't be in two places at once. I have four athletes at this show, one at this show. Sorry, I'm going to be at the one or four, right? So that's kind of my take behind it all. I mean, I'm never going to say at some point it won't be a place where if a couple athletes need me there and I can't be there, but they're like, hey, well, we'll pay for your accommodations to be here, I might be able to make it work. But again, at this point in time, I've never asked or expected that, because I do see a ton of value in being there. And for me, I love it. Like, I genuinely love being at shows. It's rejuvenating to me. It reminds me why I do what I do across the entirety of a year, why I push people as hard as I do, why I'm harder on some of my people, why these people are doing that. I'm a fucking bodybuilder at heart. And you guys know that, like, that is what I am. And yes, I don't want to put that as just my sole identity. because I'm also a fucking human and I like to think I'm other things too. But I fucking love bodybuilding through and through. So when I get to go to those shows, I'm not on stage, but it reminds me why I love this sport so much. And it doesn't need to just be my athletes there. That's why I go to the Olympia. That's why I go to these things. I literally love the fucking sport. So going to a show, yes, I'm working when I'm peaking my athletes, but I also love being a fucking spectator. So for me, it's more to it than that, right? Like when I went to Texas with Tessa, yes, we were there for a job. We were there specifically to get her on stage in the best shape possible. I watched the Classic. I watched the Open because I love bodybuilding. So it was also a trip for me that's more than just a business expense per se. And I mean, at the end of the day, you show up for your people and they show up better. That's also going to help you improve your business. And there's value to it. You know what I mean? Like, I have never understood these coaches that just only sit behind a computer and don't travel to shows at all. I just, quite frankly, don't get it. Because the amount of value that you can actually provide being there, pinching skin, seeing things in person, it's not the same through a screen. Don't get me wrong. I've peaked a lot of people through a screen. I'm about to do it again on Saturday. We can do it. We can land a plane. For the past year, you've been sending me check-ins via FaceTime or Insta or WhatsApp, whatever it is. And I know what you look like. But at the same time, there's a lot of value there. So I'll cut that off, long-winded route, but you guys can.
No, that makes sense. So for me, you know, it's pretty interesting because people have watched me travel basically everywhere Braden's been, minus a few places. That's all been on my dime. But I want to break that down just a little bit because, you know, I don't want to. So like, I also have the Supplement World stuff, right? And we're, you know, in Western Canada and aggressively expanding. So a lot of these times these trips are double meaning to me. Like I just spent kind of 2 days or a day and a half doing self-grown stuff. Now I'm here with Braden doing the podcast. These guys, we're gonna get some stuff done, you know. So there's that aspect too. So I'm sometimes two hands in a basket. But the reason that I'm going to the shows, A, because I love it and I'm trying to learn. And I viewed it as just like I've taken courses or different things and paid for that. Yeah, but like what other better learning? This is that experience. You know, like I got to watch Braden turn, you know, some people into pros this year. And it was to the point where I hope I'm not out of line in saying this, but like I pick up on things very fast and I pay attention when I'm, especially if I have a job to do and if there's expectations on me. So like by the end of some of these things, I was getting to talk with Braden and saying like, hey, are you going to do this? And most of the time I was pretty damn close to where he was thinking. And then a couple times, not at all. And then that's like, no, see, I wouldn't do that. Here's why. Well, that's so much value to mm-hmm. me. And that now to tie this in, I'll try not to speak too long. I think that's when you're hiring a coach, I think this is something to consider as an athlete, where if you're hiring a coach that has like a lot of experience, like a lot, like they're the busiest top 10 coaches producing pros. I'm speaking for bodybuilding senses now, any class in the world. I think you're going to have to expect that you're going to have to hold your own hand a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's weird saying that because it's like you shouldn't need any hand holding really, besides like obviously the protocols and things. But if I think it ends up being a little bit more collaborative, if you're taking, you know, if you're looking at someone saying, okay, this guy, his morals and the knowledge and everything he stands for is what I like, and I think we can get the job done, and it's more of a collaborative process, those type of things. Like I can tell you, I can almost guarantee you, unless I'm dead or at something very important, my first 10 national athletes, I'm at the show. Like you'd have to kill me to not be there. I'm going to be so excited. Just the fact that I got to work from where I started in this journey, you know, like being this obese, weird, nerdy kid to coaching people for a national physique development stage. Like when I get there, it's going to be very important to me. And not that it won't be later, but like Braden says, as things scale, it does get a little bit more difficult. But for me, it was about the learning opportunity. And then, you know, it didn't end up mattering because this client's husband, I think, is very knowledgeable and stuff. One of the clients Braden was just speaking about that has a chance to go pro next weekend, we actually talked about me going down in his absence because he's going to his honeymoon. And I literally said, I said, bro, if you want me to go, I'll hop my ass on a plane. I'll be the one to take the stress from her and I'll communicate with you. I'll be the mid runner because I know the information that's important to you and what you'll want to see. And, you know, he was like, man, that honestly probably might happen sometime. And then I had met this competitor and her husband before this, and I kind of said, but it seems like they're pretty, mm-hmm. she's pretty seasoned, and you know, they seem like they're a good team. She's got good support. And he was like, honestly, if it was some other clients, I'd be taking you up on that. So that's also the benefit of having this circle of people. So
yeah.
What do you think, Anthony?
I mean, I have my first competitor doing a show next year. You bet your bottom dollar I'm gonna be there probably a whole like 4 days before the show because I want to live that experience. Also, it's in Cleveland, so it's gonna be in a place where I'm friends with a good amount of people that are most likely gonna be going to that show. So you know, in terms of that, I would, if it came down to a national level stage, and God say I still am working my full-time job, I would save PTO for that. Like, I get 15 days of PTO, there'd be a guarantee I'm using 5 of those days to be at that national level show and be with them that whole week. Like, that's a big thing for us too. Like, you got to think, hey, I'm not just like, it's not just Canadian shows. Most likely it's also probably for myself and possibly Alexa, like that's US national level shows. So it's like a pretty big deal for our team to make sure that we make sure that our athletes are ready. And when it comes down to those shows, like they aren't easy. Like we saw how Nationals was last year. Like there were 30 plus guys in the heavyweights. Like you bet your bottom dollar I'm going to be there. If I have an athlete who's in a national level show, like 100%, like it's just like Brain said, it's probably a very different experience, which I'm looking forward to getting this year and being able to actually see like my athlete like in person and being able to make those decisions and being able to see him when I need to see him and being able to make those decisions when I need to make those decisions. Cause as much as you do things through WhatsApp, like you said, it's a little bit different experience seeing someone in shape in person than it is. And I mean, I've only ever been to one bodybuilding show like in general. Like it's kind of weird because I've never really
pumped that up.
Yeah, I know. This area is filled with it, but I'm gonna get to more as the time goes on. But like I would like for my athletes, like anything, like I'll drive, like of course it's in Cleveland, I'm driving the 7 hours it takes to get there. Like you think I'm not taking that opportunity to go see my first athlete step on stage. Like that's something that you really can't get back in terms of those things. And national levels just ups that ante even more and ups those things too, where you look at those decisions and that one decision can make a difference in terms of what you decide happens next with this person's body. And so I think being there and being able to see that happen in person is needed. Now I would never ask my athletes to actually pay for my travel, because that's obviously the question at heart there. I would use my own money if it came down to it to actually go and travel, because to me it's worth it. To me, that's what they ultimately need. Like some athletes may need that. And obviously, like if you can make that happen while staying on your own goals and doing that, like Brayden, like you said, like make it happen, because it's gonna benefit you not only through the result you're going to get, which I bet will turn out better, but it's also just going to work better for your business too, as well. And making sure you're representing the team well and having that support system there for that athlete is really, really important too, for like Dylan said, taking the stress off things and making sure like everything's ship is sailing pretty smoothly.
Yeah. I think it is kind of a really circumstantial question, honestly, too. Like,
yes.
As of recently, I have two athletes in Hong Kong, right? If one of those athletes hops into a show in the next 6 months and it's a local show in Hong Kong, what are the chances of me going to Hong Kong for that
show?
Very
low.
Very, very low. Now, if they told me they needed me there, I would probably have to say to them, hey.
It's like a $6,000 trip.
We're going to have to compensate some of these costs. Now, if you can do that, great. I'll be there. I'll find a way to be there 100%. I'll clear my schedule. I'll make my ass down there and I'll make sure we're there. But can I actually make that feasible? I mean, I got a family to feed too, right? I got also a life I got to live and people to take care of and things I got to accomplish. Forking out $60,000 in travel at the end of a season just to travel across the globe to be there for each single athlete that's doing a different show, that's tough too. So it's super circumstantial. I think I can definitely say from a perspective of pro shows, national shows in US and Canada, if I have athletes stepping on stage in those stages, I'm going to be there.
Yeah. Yep. Awesome. Okay. Awesome. Next question.
Who's the
next?
You had a cannabis question.
Yeah, I had a cannabis question. So it was basically asking the pros and cons, look at it, pros and cons of cannabis use pre-workout. I can give my opinion. You,
sure.
You might have
let's do
your
it.
Own. I smoke dope, so does Dylan. We like our weed. I mostly actually just use at nighttime to sleep, but I obviously have been doing that for, God, I don't know, a long, 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 long time.
You're old, bro.
Yeah. So that being said, I have a very strong opinion on this. I don't believe it provides any good at all, in a sense. And I've heard it a million times that people say they connect better with a muscle and this and that. I personally have never, there's no anecdote, there's no like papers about this stuff or whatever, but the level of effort that I expect to be given, I don't know if it's the same when you are under the influence of even something like cannabis. And I realize everybody has their own way they respond to it. And maybe it's just one hoot. Okay, sure. But I personally do not believe it provides any benefit. And I believe that when people do feel they have better training sessions, it's because they have heightened, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like sensory.
Yeah, heightened availability. Yeah, sensory availability. And you may feel you connect better with something. But are you actually? No, you're technically are in, under the influence and you're feeling like you are. Doesn't mean you actually are, right? And that's just my opinion. I feel like the effort that's needed and so forth, definitely, definitely not smoking dope before you train is the way to go. I have nothing, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, if you're somebody who's done that forever and taken a couple tokes before you train, I'm not going to sit here with my athletes and say, no way in hell you're doing that or I'm dropping you. But again, I firmly stand behind it. I've done it. Personally, myself, I can tell you, the place that I take myself within training, I was not able to go when I was a little bit under the influence. And it's just that, again, I don't make that decision based on my own personal experience with it, because I just did not like it. But I know for a fact, and I have seen it, people can't go to the places they need to go to, and it's not providing a benefit. But that's my insight. I don't have a whole lot of data to support this or anything. Yeah, there really isn't, right?
So, I'll go next, just because I want to keep it short. I don't do drugs, so I couldn't even tell you, because I don't have any anecdotal experience myself. I could tell you if I tried to train legs high, I don't know if I could fucking do that, bro. Like the place that I go mentally, like to actually do that, it would not be a smart idea. Just in terms of where I take sets right now. And I just don't think that to be able, like Braden said, I don't think to be able to take your sets as far as possible. It's probably a good thing. I know some people do it, but it's everyone's thing. I don't particularly think that it's a good idea to do it. I never recommend it. I just wouldn't. I would just avoid it if you can. Save it for your nighttime when you're going to take away your deep sleep. I'd rather you take away your deep sleep then.
Come home, smoke some dope, and eat your post-workout meal if you need to.
Yeah, fucking do that. Yeah.
I agree with everything these boys said. I'll take it from a different angle, just spread a different perspective. I probably use the most cannabis of the three of us, I would say. I want to talk about training, and then I want to tell a very, very, very quick story that happened last night, because it's funny and I think it's entertaining. But when we're talking about cannabis and what it does to most people, like in the clinical sense, that automatically tells me it's probably not a very good training tool. Okay. I've worked with enough athletes now, and because I use cannabis and I know a little bit about it, my athletes will come to me with this. So I've had these kind of little like experimental phases. And the way that I look at it is, Braden did touch on this, where the poisons and the dose for sure for everyone. And then everyone's tolerance is different. So what ratio of that dose is the percentage of their tolerance matters. However, the only people that I've seen benefit from it are, and the reason I know this, and I've never smoked during my training. but I have before to try it, and I saw the allure to it. And then I went like, oh, I think I know what they think they're getting out of this. And that's because I've struggled with my own past traumas and mental health. I think that what that is you, if it's benefiting you, it's a sign that you're, it's a band-aid for a lack of focus and ability to sink in to your own thoughts, feelings, and emotions without having a distraction. Because I actually don't use cannabis to distract myself. I think that a lot of people fall into this, and more people fall into that with alcohol and like not like serotonin modulating drugs. However, like last night, for instance, we were at a business meeting and we were at a table where there was four people at a table and four people at another table, but there was a 3-foot kind of gap, like the tables were bolted down. So we're sitting at two tables, but together. And just like when I'm with B at these shows, I've kind of taken my place in these different companies that I have. And I seem to be under the person who has the most eyes on them, which gives me a unique opportunity to pay attention. I was having a full, and this is a nighttime, so we're going to sit down and have a steak dinner. And, you know, I was having a full on conversation with two people across from me about something pretty complex. And in my left ear, I was not paying attention at all. And they were talking about me smoking cannabis to like John Hack, who's one of the world's best powerlifters, and Jessica Bittner. And I could hear my business partner saying, like, they were talking about how they could never smoke before training. So that's why I'm bringing this up, because they were like, I missed that part, but they were like talking about how they couldn't. And Josh was like, yeah, Dylan doesn't either, but he utilizes cannabis and he likes it a lot. And then I could hear Travis start to talk about like how much I could smoke and still function and all this stuff. So then all of a sudden Travis looks over at me and he says, hey, how much is 6 times 5? And I was like, 3. And he looked at me like, what? I said, 3 grams of weed. That's what you were trying to figure out this whole time at this conversation. I've been listening to this for 2 minutes straight. And I said, yes, I could smoke 3 grams of weed and still function right. And so they all started laughing. And he was like, that's okay, a lot I see of weed. What you're talking about. Because I had about 1.5 grams at that point. And I was simultaneously listening to two different conversations at the same time with great detail and in a busy restaurant. So the point of that is, for me, I don't use it to run away. It gives me a perspective shift that I do not get. So it's almost like I'm weighing me without it and leveraging that against me with it. And it gives me such open perspective shifts that I can kind of amalgamate where I might be missing things. Like, oh, you're... So when you're training, I don't think it's time to utilize that. That's why I think it's not good, because it's like, I want to be... Whenever the only people that I've seen it benefit is I get them to send me a training video without it. People that are using it, and I say, let's remove it. And I said, send me a training video. It always comes back to the eyes. Without it, their eyes are darting every person that walks by, their involuntary eye movement. And then it's like, okay, so try a hit of cannabis and then go and have this smoke. It's usually women, to be honest, not usually men. And they're more neurotic by trait, and they're a little bit more anxious as a rule. So that makes sense, especially in a gym where there's lots of things going on. And then with the cannabis, I could see their eyes stop doing that. And I was like, okay, but you can do that without that and surpass that. You just have to aim at it, and you don't know you're missing it right now. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. So like Dylan said, it's almost a band-aid for a lack of ability to focus. But I think if you want to succeed in this sport, you have to be able to tap into that anyways, not just under the influence of cannabis, right? Yeah. Like you need to be able to focus, because your outputs matter. And as far as I'm concerned, the outputs are greater when you're not under the influence of cannabis. And that's as far as I need to go with it. Again, this is 100% opinion. I'm not here to tell anybody not to smoke. I definitely think if you can find a way to just tap into some shit within yourself and focus. And again, like Dylan said, I give athletes shit all the time. I watch their eyes first when I watch a training video. Normally when I watch a training video, I watch it 3 times. First time I watch it, I'm watching their eyes. Then I'm going through movement patterns, and then I'm addressing it one more time to make sure that everything else is rep speed, tempo, failure point, all that is good. Where they're failing is proper, and they're not all of a sudden shifting form as they fail and trying to drive through it. So for me, again, the eyes tell a story. And if your eyes are all over the fucking place, get that sorted out. And I'm not going to tell you to get that sorted out by taking a hit of cannabis. I'm going to tell you to focus and get your head in the game.
Yeah.
So that's my train of thought there.
Agreed.
Ooh. Agreed. Who's got the next? One of you guys got the next one?
I have one, and it says, Well, this is also like a more open-ended question. There's a little bit of philosophical in for it, but it said, what would be some of your guys' advice for me to move forward as a coach in my coaching career and then also as an athlete, you know, who has athletic goals basically within the sport? And I thought, well, that could be kind of fun. So we can all take a little bit of a stab at that.
I think
hire a coach to hire a mentor.
I was going to say, I think holding yourself to the highest level of possible as an athlete will make you a better coach. Because if you want to produce positive results in athletes, you need to push them to step outside their comfort zones. In order for you to be the best athlete possible, you're going to have to step outside your own comfort zones. You're going to have to not bitch about sacrificing this. You're going to have to not bitch about sacrificing that. You're just going to have to do it, right? And I firmly stand behind the idea, and obviously this is why I do what I do, that as a coach, at some point at least, and I realize, like, I'm not going to do what I do until I'm 45 years old in terms of training and stuff like that. So I probably will have to take a step back at some point. But while I can, I'm gonna do what I can do because I love it, A, and B, because I think there's a ton of value of leading by example, right? If I'm the fat guy walking around telling people to fucking follow their diet and train hard, and I'm training once a week, a full body workout, and I'm eating dog shit all the time, well, what kind of message does that send, right? Like, it's I think there's a lot of value first in becoming a high quality athlete, and the amount of stuff you can learn just by studying yourself and paying attention to yourself early on. That was literally how I started as a coach. I mean, I was all over bodybuilding.com and stuff, and that's where I started my learning. But I learned so much about just fucking with my own things. I did a real ketogenic diet, like a real one, like super high fat, super low protein. I was barely eating even vegetables because their carb content was too high. I did that shit. I've done intermittent fasting. I've done everything. I've experimented with every pretty much type of diet, Mediterranean diets, everything you can imagine. I learned a shit ton from them. And that was just me as an athlete playing around with my own stuff. And every single one of those experiences, I can tell you to this day, taught me a lot of information about how to apply, how to use, when to use, that kind of stuff. Now, granted, I connected some dots between then and now in terms of that stuff through studies and mentors and just more anecdote. But I think there's a huge value in becoming a quality athlete before you try to become a coach. And then, honestly, spend time before you decide to just launch your business. You did one show, you're not a coach. I look at you as a perfect example of this, Anthony, because you did stuff totally different than I did, right? Like, I was very, I'm going to learn in the trenches. And I started coaching people for free because I had learned so much about coaching myself. I didn't know a ton about coaching people or all this information. I didn't have any mentors at the time, but I started helping people for free. And at that point, I started learning more about people. I did that for years. I didn't help people for free for years, but I knew I had something and my passion was caring about that. And I was learning from reading and I started helping people and charging at that point, et cetera, et cetera. And now fast forward to where we are now, now I am paying mentors and I have the means to pay mentors and I pay for my education and so forth. Whereas you, on the flip side, you started backwards. You started paying for mentors early on. You started paying for coaches to learn from them early on, right? And that has taken you where you are now. And now you're getting more anecdote. So there is no right or wrong way to do it. But I think the way you're approaching it is really, really cool. Because now you have the ability to gain the anecdotal experience through applying the knowledge that you've learned versus learning the knowledge through anecdotal experience and then relearning some of that stuff, right? So yeah, that's my inputs. And like you said, I think one of the most important things you can do if you actually want to be a good coach is hire a coach. Learn how to hire a good coach and pay attention. Like Dylan does very well. And he talks about it, he does very well. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Pay attention and reverse engineer things, right? Like, I have a coach, and I don't know always what Cam's doing. I like to think I do, and I ask questions and stuff. But I just let him do what he's doing because I trust him. But you can always learn from what's being done to you without asking questions. Always you can. You don't always have to ask to learn. If you pay attention good enough, you're going to understand what's happening, and you'll be able to understand it further.
Yeah, I think that
makes total sense to me. Matt, do you want to go next?
Yeah. Obviously, like B said, I did it the polar opposite way where I hired mentors and everything first. Now, I obviously had the funds to be able to do that. It's not cheap to be able to do that. But I think B's actually on the right point here over what you can do is you have to go all in as an athlete because you don't know what someone is capable of unless you give that 110% all in. There's a reason why I actually asked, like, for example, I asked Mark to push harder like a few weeks ago. There's a reason why, because I want to get to the point where how hard do I truly have to push so I can translate that to my athletes and be like, okay, I got you to this spot. Here's what I'm seeing with myself. Now I could translate this and see if you're truly pushing, if we're truly pushing teetering that line there and teetering that line of, oh, are we actually going to get this done or not? And, or are you going to give the effort when it starts to suck? Like it's those things, like there's definitely 110% thing in what B said is being the best athlete, like truly learning your plan and reading every little thing that you can, because if you get a good coach, his plans are pretty detailed. Like they're not like these, just like, they may be very simple, but I can tell you they're pretty detailed too as well. And in terms of training and nutrition wise, like supplementation wise, like everything is to the T. There's a reason why, and it's your job to kind of figure that out. And I've started to do that with Mark, is just allow him to make decision, and then I figure out my body on my own. Like I figured out, hey, I needed to really look into my morning and night routines. Like you're going to find those things, and then now I can apply that and see, okay, is someone actually truly optimizing everything that they can around their routine? Like now I'm able to read that and read what I was seeing biofeedback wise in myself. I could see and see what that translates to in my athletes. So I think that always will lead to being a better coach there too as well. And then the consistency of just being curious will obviously lead you to be a better coach. Like just strictly be curious. Like if you're curious about something, go look it up. Like someone asked today, how do you do your research? Well, B told me, hey, just type in a topic, literally put in PubMed, go in there, dive in there, do a few readings. If you find something within the reading, keep digging deeper. Like if you continue to do that, you're going to find all these different studies that apply things. You're going to find dosages for supplements that you may need. Like you're going to find things that work for a lot of people that can translate over fairly well. And also just, you know, sometimes you just got to experiment too. Like there's sometimes where you just say, I don't know, and you do it. And sometimes that does it. And I know that's not like the best thing to do as like a coach or something, but, or as even as an athlete, but hey, you got to see how it works. Right. And the only way you're going to do that is to actually try it yourself. So I think that's probably the best way, but overall hiring people is probably the best thing that you could do, whether it's a coach, a mentor, whether it's courses, whatever you got to do. If you have to work an extra job, you will become a better coach if you're able to find the funds to be able to invest into what you want to do and what you're passionate about.
Yeah, that I agree with all that. I'll add something that maybe is a little bit different, because I think that those are also like a lot of the stuff that I've done. I took more of the Braden route where I just lost so much weight and people were like asking me and I was like, you want me to train you? Okay, well, sure. And I did it for free for a long time. And then I did, and that was in person. There wasn't even online training then. Didn't exist, you know? And then that turned into a lot of different stuff over the years. And then I got started getting more educated like halfway through. I think one of the things people could do is get their thoughts and motivations a little bit more organized versus having like, oh, like what I want to do. So like, just sit down, write down on a piece of paper, what three things annoy you the most. You can use your annoyances as an indicator of lack, right? So it's like, what about my roster? Oh, well, it's these type of clients, which I'm really grateful for, but I kind of want to be working with this different segment within the group. Okay, well then look at your marketing. Are you marketing towards that group that you're resentful that you don't have? Are you experienced? Are you educated? It kind of shows you where you might be lacking. And then a lot of times when I do this with people, because I do mentor some people now, this comes up all the time. And it's like, hey, you're kind of just talking about it. You're not really doing it. And I try and embody this. Like, you know, my stuff has been very on point for a long time. Like I don't really go off point that much. However, even, you know, this last enhancement season with Braden, we had a talk, you know, when we really started to, you know, like push things into super physiological levels. And he was like, hey, man, you know, we're coming to these shows. You want to work with more athletes. Like, you have to prove that you can handle all of your responsibilities while still also pushing for your own goals and being there for your people. Like, you have to elevate. And I love that type of shit, you know? So it's like, okay. So weekend, I drove 9 hours, you know, had a crazy weekend of shit. I packed all my food in a cooler, you know, and got it done. And not to say that everyone has to do that every single time you have something going on in life. But I think if people are seeing that, that's what they're gravitated to. Cause I think it's kind of like buzzy online right now to be like a balanced person and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think that actually people like it, because if I talk about, oh, well, I'm doing this thing and it's pretty easy, but I like the balance. People like that because they're like, hey, yeah, me too. I like it easy. And they give you the thumbs up and they give you that positive reaction. You think, oh yeah, balance is really good. I'm not saying no balance is not good. But at the same time, you know, the people that are really attracting clients, it's because they're trying to replicate something within your journey that they've done. You know, like I asked, because I'm very curious. I have a couple bodybuilders that have quite a bit better physique than I may ever get, you know, like already. And they're 22. So it's like, well, I'm running on a runway and you got a lot. So it's unrealistic to think otherwise. And I asked them, like, why did you hire me specifically? And it was like, well, because I see you touting the line, you know, of like pushing yourself to get better all the time. And I've watched that for years in different regards. And then you're also pushing all these business things, and I have my own business endeavors, you know, so people are picking things up. We kind of think that they're not paying attention. Clients will be watching you for 6 to 9 months before they actually maybe even ever reach out. 100%. So if you took a snapshot of what you did in the last 6 to 9 months, was that worth talking about? Yeah. Was that worth them reaching out to you and saying, like, you're the person to hire me for these extreme goals that I have? And obviously, like, where Braden is, you get to the competing realm, like, that's the extreme of the extreme. So if you haven't kind of done anything to elicit someone believing in you, then it's going to be hard to get them to kind of join you. So I think that just taking a look at what you're doing and maximizing all those little areas where you can be pushing forward, it's a really good piece of advice.
I firmly believe that is what actually makes it happen for you. Like, I agree with that 100%. Like, if you want to, cause we were talking about this today on the call, and I'll bring it up, like showing more of like my journey too. Like, I tried to make my page all about my athletes, right, and educating and things like that. But a lot of people are interested in what I'm doing, and like whether that's just taking a photo. Like, I don't take photos on my stories of me like completing my cardio. Is more of like a, oh, congratulate me for doing what I'm supposed to be doing, right? It's, I'm showing you that I am supposed to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, I am here in the trenches with you. I think a lot of people think like coaches aren't in the trenches with them. And I think that's what separates, like, if you want to be a good coach, be in the trenches with your athletes. Like, that's what it depends on. Like, if you're doing, you have to do what they're going to do. So, but I think that's a good thing, is like showing your journey and showing that you are capable of completing the tasks that are needed of you, even, and being there for the people and being there for your current athletes, because that will show. If your service continues while you're still in prep or whatever, or you're in a very difficult fat loss phase or something like that, or even like gaining, or even a really hard like bulking phase, like if you're able to maintain your service throughout that time and be able to show up for your athletes, they will show up for you too in terms of things, and you're just going to get better athletes from that point too, to be a better coach.
I have one more thing too that kind of stems into this, and I think it kind of branches off what Dylan was saying. Make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. And this is a big one, because the amount of people that I see pop into this industry to be coaches, and I've simply literally, it, this conversation rubs me the wrong way, because I've had this said to me, and I've had somebody say, get a real job. And that shit drives me fucking nuts, because if you're somebody who wants to enter this industry and be a coach because it's easy work and it's not work, well, you're not going to be successful. I can tell you right now,
it's not work when you're not successful.
I can tell you, I can tell you right now, and again, this isn't a woe is me, and I work a lot, and I know Dylan works a fuck ton, and Anthony has a full-time job while he does this, but there will get to a point where he's crazy busy too, but like, I work a lot more than a regular person works, and I can promise you that. My days are extremely long. Oh, yeah. A very large chunk of it goes towards coaching in my business. So if you do this because you like working out and you don't want to get a real job, you should reevaluate your shit, because you're going to be broke and you probably won't do too well, right? Find what you're passionate about. And if you're truly passionate about it, then comes the hard work, because you're going to need to fucking work. And I've been the guy that had 10 athletes. I've been the guy that had 20 athletes. And I've been the guy that has 100 plus athletes. And I'll tell you what changed between all those: my fucking work ethic and how hard I committed to this life and what I really wanted to do. And I'll tell you right now, I just want to fucking coach, and I love coaching, and I gear myself up for it and make sure it happens. And there's sacrifices that have to come with that. My wife sacrifices a lot because we don't get to spend that much time together. At some point in our life, we will, and it'll be worth it. But for now, she realizes that my athletes are my focus, and yes, we still do things together and stuff. I don't just push her off completely. But like I said, there has to be sacrifices, and people think it's just sunshine and rainbows. You sit in front of your computer for a couple hours a day and do a couple check-ins and go live your life and have fun all day. It's not like that if you're actually being a real coach and doing what a real coach should do. It's hard work, and you're going to have to bite the bullet and do it.
Yep. I completely agree with that. You know, one of the things too, I think that people kind of just cast off is one of the reasons why one of the main things I love about this team, and I feel like it was like fate, I guess, if you will, is I'm just like really interested in animal behavior. And then Brayden's got, you know, like the wolf was his friend. And, you know, our pack is full of relentless hunters. So I had a girl ask me, a client this morning, about, and she's just starting getting into coaching, maybe a year. She was asking me about an enhancement strategy for herself. And I said, look, you actually do cross a lot of the dots off, and, you know, you're a great athlete and all these things, but, you know, at your age, being so young, I kind of want to see you interested in this for like another couple of years before you cross that bridge, because I've been in this industry for like 11 years now. I've seen the next greatest best thing since sliced bread 8 times. Mm-hmm. And maybe they were going to be better than me, you know, or some, they were going to be the next thing. And guess what? They don't even do this shit anymore.
Yeah.
They're literally like not at all in the industry. And proving to yourself that you can have some relentlessly up and downs. Anyone can work 80 hours for 6 weeks straight. Anyone can do a show and, you know, get lean and all these things like one time, 2 times. Can you keep showing up for people month after month through a pandemic, like when Brayden lost his damn whole roster? Like, these things will come up. And if you haven't proven yourself to be able to handle the droughts when there's no prey, you know, and it's that to me is a big thing too, that relentlessness, and get a little bit tough skin, because there's going to come ups and downs, right? And if you're not ready for them, it'll really destabilize you.
Huge time. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big one right there. That's a big one. I can tell you that I had a combo with one of my athletes, and he talked about free meals, and I was like, you know, you talked to me about wanting to compete and eventually going on PEDs and everything, and you've lasted now 3 weeks and you want a free meal. I was like, you need to show up for longer than that. If number one, you want to be on PEDs, and number two, if you want the free meal, I was like, you need to show up for at least a year. Show me that you really actually want this and you want to do it, because it's not a decision you hold lightly. So for those things, like, it's like, you have to be in it. You have to be in it. You have to be about it. And if you're not about it, get the fuck out, because we're gonna run you over. So
you'll get exposed.
Yes.
Very quickly.
You're gonna get torn up.
And there's coaches that I see falling apart, man, that have been in this industry a long time, leading athletes, because there's a lot of coaches in the same cities and in the same industry that are putting in effort. And you want to just sit back and send people thumbs up and have that job of sit in front of your computer for an hour a day and then have 23 hours of free time, watch what happens.
As I said, it's not, the job isn't easy if you're actually successful and trending towards success over time.
No, I can tell you the job is very stressful. The job is like, no matter how many athletes you have, if you really want to provide a good service, I can tell you, you're thinking about every decision you're making all the damn time. And and it does pay a toll. So,
put it this way. You want to be a good coach, as far as I'm concerned. We talked about the education, the anecdote, all this stuff. If you only have enough athletes to be working for 3 hours a day and you don't have a full-time job, you probably should be doing 8 hours of education a day on top of that.
Yep.
You should be doing a full day, and a 10 to 12-hour day of work and education, and fill your day like it was a full-time job, filling gaps with educational stuff to make you a better coach. Because if you think just having 15 clients across the entirety of a week and posting three times a day on social media is going to make you a better coach or make you a bigger roster or whatever it is, it's not. Yes, sure, it might slowly grow, but you know what's going to get you a better roster? Being educated and being able to actually change those 15 people you work with. And all of a sudden that 15 turns to 30, that 30 turns to 45, that 45 times turns to 90. Now you're at a place where it's like those fucking 2 years of 12-hour plus days of education work and grinding and staying on top of your athletes and doing what you need to do, that got you to where you are. So moral of the story, work fucking hard.
And care about people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Like, it's it's like, okay, well, oh, you're a coach, but you care. Well, you know, like for instance, if you had a friend, like, you know, Braden and I are pretty close. If I had something really horrible or really amazing go wrong in my life, and I messaged Braden, and he took 3 days to get back to me and sent a thumbs up or thumbs down, how many times do you think I would repeat that? It's a trick question. The answer is once. That's the only time that would probably happen. And then he wouldn't be the person that I share that with anymore.
Yeah.
So when you think about a client who you haven't had the time that Braden and I even had to build up a relationship over many, many months of deep talking outside of like the coaching, relationship that you'd have with an athlete, you know, if people are entrusting in you, like, hey, I'm struggling with this or I'm not struggling with this. And, you know, if you just don't care because you're just doing it to have an easy job or having the money, people will feel that, and you'll be a shooting star. Burn out.
Tell you what, if you're in this for the money, go somewhere else.
It's not here. I can tell you that as someone who's been doing it for 2 years, the money can be there, but it's for the people that actually care.
Like anything else, it's reserved for the hustlers.
Yep. Exactly. So
anyway, boys, this was a great episode.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, this was actually a really good one. Lots of good stuff came from this one. Hopefully people learned some. I know we only had a few questions, but kind of use this as, I really wanted to use this as a reflectory, reflectionary, I don't know. English is hard, but yeah, reflectionary episode on 3 years. So I just want to say again, I appreciate everyone who's listened to us three for the last like 6 months here. That us three have been doing this for. We truly appreciate you guys tuning into every single episode that you guys do. I can't thank you guys enough. You guys have been here since the beginning or within the first like 10 episodes, or you've gone back and listened to all 220 episodes, 219 episodes prior to this one. Like, it means a lot if you listen to anything of this podcast. So thank you guys for that. As you guys know, the podcast is brought to you by More Virginia Nutrition. You guys can use code SPADA. You guys can also go walk into Supplement World and get a discount if you're on Team Miller Elite. So join us because we get cool things. we do. But join us because we're coming. We're hunting. Like Dylan said, we're relentless hunters. We're growing. We'll rip you apart if you need one. But we love you as much as possible. So if you guys enjoyed this episode, as always, subscribe to the podcast. Video is on Spotify now. Finally got that working. I finally understood how that works. So we're good on that end. But other than that, we will catch you guys on the next episode of the Ace of Spader podcast with the boys.
Thanks, guys.
See you guys later.